Welcome back for another episode of Clean Tech Talk, where we at Clean Technica interview clean tech leaders from around the world. With topics ranging from electric cars to climate change communication, you can listen to our full podcast series by visiting our website at cleantechnica.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Clean Tech Talk. My name is Scott Cooney, and today I'm going to be touching base about one of the biggest stories in climate tech this week, which I am dubbing the Saudi Arabia of clean energy. Joining me today is Dr. Mark Z. Jacobson, someone who really needs no introduction in the climate tech world. Mark is a professor of civil and environmental engineering at Stanford University and author of No Miracles Needed, How Today's Technology Can Save Our Climate and Clean Our Air. He's authored countless articles both in academic journals and in popular literature, and is a frequent subject matter expert and interview guest here at Clean Technica. Mark, welcome back to Clean Tech Talk.
Thank you for having me on, Scott.
All right, so let's dive right in. As brief background to our subject today, I'm going to highlight an article that NPR published in 2022 about this monumental event. Let me see. I'm going to play the video or the audio here.
California hit a major milestone for clean energy last weekend. For part of an afternoon, the state produced enough renewable energy to meet 100% of demand for the first time. But that doesn't mean fossil fuels are going away quickly. Solar and wind power have been booming, but getting off fossil fuels completely could take decades, even in California. Lauren Sommer from NPR's climate team joined me.
All right, so there you heard the news from NPR. So at about 3 p.m. on May 8th, 2022, California briefly reached an amount of solar and wind power equivalent to the state's total demand. From the chart published on the article, it looked like it lasted about 10 to 15 minutes. And the title of the piece was, California just ran on 100% renewable energy, but fossil fuels aren't fading away yet. Okay, so let's flash forward to 2024. And what's been amazing is that the recent string of days in which the state has exceeded total demand with clean energy generation, we are now at 47 of the last 55 days where water, wind, and solar electricity generation exceeded 100% of total demand. The 24-hour average of this clean power was 62.3% of the state's total demand for the day. And a huge part of this is storage. So there's now 6.7 gigawatts of energy storage, which is basically seven nuclear reactors worth, to start discharging during peak demand time, allowing the state to power down fossil fuel peaker plants. But so, Mark, I got to ask you, California has high electricity rates. So is this part of the challenge of shifting to a renewable energy future? And if so, how much? What are we looking at in terms of how much of a precedent this is for other states following California's lead?
Yeah, thanks, Scott. So first, yeah, this is unprecedented in terms of how much the penetration of what I call wind, water, and solar electricity generation has increased in the state of California. As you mentioned, in 2022, there were a couple of days where the total wind, water, solar, which by the way, consists of onshore wind, solar photovoltaics, utility scale solar photovoltaics, concentrated solar power, geothermal electricity, and also hydroelectricity, both small and large hydroelectricity. It does not include, by the way, rooftop solar, because rooftop solar is used to power people's own homes and buildings. And so that does come into play because it reduces demand on the grid. So you have this drop in demand during the day due to rooftop solar. And then you have an increase of supply during the day of utility scale solar that's helping meet that 100% of demand or more. And in fact, rooftop solar meets in the annual average in 2023, it met 12% of all electricity demand in the state of California. So it's a big component. But this, yeah, in 2022 and 2023, wind, water, and solar only met 100% of demand or more on, you know, 2 or 3 days, only on the weekend in isolated days, never consecutively. Then all of a sudden, starting in March 8th this year, and for, as you mentioned, 47 of the last 55 days, we've had wind, water, solar exceeding demand on the grid for anywhere from a quarter hour to 9.9 hours, almost 10 hours per day. And for the last 18 days in a row, in fact, we've had wind, water, solar exceeding demand. The average day, night electricity supply from wind, water, solar over the entire 55-day period is 62.3%. So generally, we're having more than 100% during the day and then less than 100% at night. But what is also fascinating is, as you mentioned, battery storage has grown. And so we now have 6.7 gigawatts of peak power being discharged on the grid. But in fact, the other day, about 5% of all of California's electricity during a 24-hour period was provided by battery storage. And since that battery storage only operates at night, it's really 10% of nighttime electricity was provided by battery storage. And that the electricity for those batteries was supplied by excess electricity generated during the day. So when we have excess electricity during the day, which we've had in 47 of the last 55 days, half of that excess electricity goes to charge batteries and half is exported out of state. So this is unprecedented, and it's the large growth is due primarily to a huge growth in solar, utility scale solar, but also rooftop solar that's helped reduce demand on the grid and the large growth in batteries. Now, you mentioned about cost. Well, yeah, California has like the third highest cost or price of electricity in the United States, but this has nothing to do with these renewables on the grid. In fact, the renewables have reduced the cost on the grid, helped to reduce the cost compared with what they would otherwise be without so many renewables. How do we know that? Well, we can look at other states in the US with high penetrations of wind, water, and solar. In fact, there are 11 other states in the US that have even higher penetrations of wind, water, solar as a fraction of their demand on the grid relative to California. So in 2023, for example, California supplied 53% of its electricity that it used from wind, water, solar. Well, South Dakota supplied 96%, primarily wind and then secondarily hydropower. Montana and Iowa were both around 80%. Iowa was like 79% wind and like 1% hydro, and Montana was mostly hydro and then wind. But the point is, there are 11 other states that had higher penetrations. Of those 11 states, 10 of those states had electricity prices in the lowest half of all states in the US. Five of those states had electricity prices in the lowest 10 states in the United States. So California is kind of an outlier in that it has both high penetrations of renewables and high prices. So you might ask, well, why are the prices higher than in California? Well, it's actually for multiple reasons. One is that California has the third highest fossil gas prices in the United States, and fossil gas is still used for electricity production in the state. Second, there are a lot of costs that are being passed on to consumers from natural gas disaster, fossil gas disasters. For example, the Aliso Canyon gas disaster that spewed out for many months huge amounts of gas into California's atmosphere. That cost utilities a lot for penalties, and they've been passing those on to consumers. The San Bruno gas disaster resulted in an explosion that killed many people and destroyed a city block. That resulted in huge penalties and costs, human life costs, and penalties that have been passed on to consumers. And as a result of that, gas lines underground have had to be strengthened. Those costs have been passed on to consumers. In addition, California's had numerous wildfires that have been triggered by transmission line sparks. The damage from those have been passed on to consumers. And on top of that, now transmission lines, a lot of them are being undergrounded, and the costs of those are being passed on to consumers. So all these costs are really responsible for these high electricity prices in California.
So that seems like a big percentage of why California's rates are higher than many other states. And it's interesting you point out these, the 10 out of the 11, the South Dakota, Montana, Iowa, Washington, Oregon. It's remarkable to see how much of the generation in those states is being powered by wind, water, and solar, and how inexpensive that power is.
Hello, clean tech enthusiasts. If you enjoy Clean Tech Talk and Clean Technica, please consider pitching in a few dollars a month at cleantechnica.com/support. That's cleantechnica.com/support, where you can sign up in seconds with a credit card, pitch in a few dollars a month, or whatever you like. Some people actually contribute $100 a month to help us cover climate change and clean tech and try to help the world one word at a time. Thank you.
If you had a crystal ball to look into for, you know, given this amazing progress from 2022, where we had this incredible news that made NPR because of 15 minutes worth of solar and wind power in California, to now, where we have 47 of the last 55 days, what are you looking at in 2026? Any concept of where this might go?
Well, it's too early to tell, but my guess is if we go at the same rate of improvement, and well, by the way, the biggest reasons that I mentioned for the growth between even 2023 and 2024 are growth of solar and the growth of batteries. And in fact, this year of in that streak of 47 days with above 100% renewables, you know, on at least 7 or 8 of those days, California was supplied entirely by solar alone for a few minutes to hours. And so we're over 100% solar alone powering the whole grid. Now, this is going to increase, keep increasing as we go forward the next few years. And we're also going to see more offshore wind. So offshore wind will be critical or and key for reducing the fossil use at night and, you know, filling up the gaps at nighttime, because, and especially in summer, because, well, first of all, in terms of energy demand in California, energy demand during fall, winter, and spring is relatively similar. It's around, you know, 25 gigawatts of peak power. But in summer, that goes up to around 50 plus gigawatts of peak power because people use air conditioning a lot. Now, so it'll be interesting, first of all, to see how, if we can have any 100% days during summer this year. If not, I do expect them to be, to get 100% days during summer in the next couple of years, especially when we get offshore wind, that will fill up the nights. And offshore wind, by the way, in California peaks during the summer and it peaks at night when we have peak time electricity demand. So that will help in addition to having more solar and batteries on the grid, that'll help to get California to 100% renewables, clean renewable wind, water, and solar 24/7. So I think by 2028, we will have probably 80% on average during the year and wind, water, solar. And by 2030 to 2032, we will have 100% consistently all year of wind, water, solar, which is way faster than the law, this SB 100 law, which requires 60% eligible renewables by 2030, which is all renewables except for all clean renewables except for hydropower, and then 100% effectively renewables by 2045. I think we'll get to 100% wind, water, solar alone on the grid in California by just after 2030.
This is amazing. And the thing I really want to point out here is that this is not a small place. California is the world's fifth largest economy. And if we can do it in California, obviously this can be translated into a lot of other places. Obviously, California is special on a lot of levels, both good and bad. But that's the idea, is that you look at these other states, they have very, very little. North Dakota, Wyoming, Oklahoma, Maine, you know, these states have a lot of differential between them. And so it's cool to see that wind, water, and solar can solve problems in all of these places. Mark, thank you so much for your time today. Really appreciate you and looking forward to seeing how this continues to grow.
Yeah, thank you for having me on, Scott.
So that's my big news for the week. I'm super grateful to Dr. Mark Jacobson for joining us on Clean Tech Talk today. I want to briefly dive into one other thing and just kind of give my reflection on it. In that same NPR piece, they still talk about how fossils are not going away. Okay, so if you counted, if you added nuclear and hydro, wind and solar all together, that same day, there was actually about 8 hours total of carbon-free energy generation. But even during that time, they were still running natural gas plants because there's some latency in them that makes them very inefficient. They were able to power them down to their lowest productive state, but they couldn't turn them off because of fear of rolling blackouts going into the evening after the sun sets. So it's amazing to me. I think we just really need to think about how everybody is always like, oh, baseload power with, you know, fossils is so reliable and this, that, and the other. How inefficient is this? It's almost like the natural gas, you know, stove at your house or, you know, your water heater or something like that, where they have to keep a pilot light going at all times. It's so silly. Like, think about this. How on earth are we still having to run these power plants, even though we're well over 100% in other areas, just because there's a latency, they can't power them up and power them down? All the complaints they make about solar and wind being intermittent, you lose this element that, you know what, fossils have a lot of inefficiency built into them too. So it's important to kind of remember that. Anyway, it is what it is. We now have, as Dr. Jacobson said, 6.7 gigawatts of energy storage, storing all that solar power during the day, dispersing it at night. That will help turn off all those natural gas plants, and that will get us to 100% clean energy future. And that is a future I want to live in. Thanks again for joining us on this week's Clean Tech Talk. My name is Scott Cooney. Please subscribe. If you like this podcast, share it with your friends. This is awesome news. We're going to keep doing cool 15-minute, 20-minute blips of climate tech news of the week going forward. So I hope you tune in, subscribe, and thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to Clean Tech Talk. Join us next time to get your electric fix. If you would like to sponsor our podcast, send us an email at accounts@cleantechnica.com. That's accounts@cleantechnica.com. Thanks. Yeah.